Welcome here to Wake Up Call DT.com for an exclusive you won't find anywhere else featuring the Syracuse Silver Knights, and that's none other than the Extra Period. After every single Syracuse Silver Knights home game, the Extra Period is right here on Wake Up Call DT.com, where you hear from president and head coach of the team, Tommy Tanner, right after the game, along with Syracuse Silver Knights players featured in this broadcast of the Extra Period here on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. I have two knights, Antonio Manfoot, Canardo Forbes, Marco Chantel, Nelson Santana, and Vittorio Petrera, who got the job done early on in the game, getting his first ever professional indoor soccer league goal with the Syracuse Silver Knights. So you don't want to miss out on that special moment for Vittorio Petrera as well. All of it coming up exclusively here on WakeUpCallDT.com on the Extra Period. And we'll start off with Tommy Tanner, the president and head coach of the team. In this game, in my mind, being a tale of two halves, in the first half, the Knights tied with the Pennsylvania Roar 4-4 going into the locker room. And what Tommy took away from that first half being tied with the team that has the worst record in the MISL, what he thought about that going into the break?
Oh, we didn't have enough energy or put enough pressure on them and just let them play. So, in the second half, we put a ton of energy out there, and we finished our chances.
When you look at this game and where it was, I mean, Pennsylvania is a team that only has one win this season. When you're tied at halftime, was that saying anything to you about the team, or was it just legs from coming back from Baltimore?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with legs. It just had to do with effort. It had to do with effort, and we just didn't put the effort in because they played last night also. So, and nothing to do about legs. It just had to do about effort and doing the right things and going out there and doing them. And we did them in the second half for the most part. Still give them 13 points though.
And what do you take away from that? Like you said, with the Baltimore loss, you had negatives, but you had positives as well. This game, you win by 11, but are there any negatives that you need to correct right now that you're taking with you?
Well, yeah, the negatives are that we can't do what we did in the first 2 years, what we did in the first half. You know, we weren't tight, we didn't get tight, we didn't go forward, and we played backwards to our goal all day long, and you're never going to win when that happens.
So the play after Michelle Millwood's goal, when he gets put in front, so it's for like conduct, what was going through your mind? Have you been in a situation like that before?
Well, it was stupid. I was the reason we had the 2 minute penalty, so it was my fault. But I got the third yellow card, and that's what cost us 2 minute penalty. It was a stupid play by me. You know, Millwood did taunt him. I don't know if it's necessarily automatically a 2 minute penalty in this league with all the stuff that goes on. But I could see why they gave him a 2 minute penalty, and I was stupid for going out there and arguing it.
What do you say to your team when you do something that you think that you didn't do correctly? Do you go in and talk to the team about that and tell them, listen, this is not something I'm going to do again? I mean, you're usually the guy talking with them about right and wrong. Do you talk to them about this if you feel like you did something wrong?
Yeah, I say that I messed up, but we just go on. We won, so we actually scored two goals off of it, so we were pretty good shorthanded today.
And that's what I want to ask you. Is coming off of that, you were so fiery after Michelle Millwood got put in there. There's three yellow cards, but yet the team seemed to play better after that. So what did you take away from that moment where the team is playing a guy down, but all of a sudden the scoring kind of took on as they got later in the game?
I think the guys they had on the power play at the time were very, very tired. So, and we got Antonio on there that can run, and Canardo on there who can run. And Toby made some great runs from behind that, that opened everything up. So, I think it was their personnel and our personnel, it was much quicker than theirs. So, we were able to get forward. I think we scored two or three shorthanded goals today.
When we look at a game like this, and it's happened all throughout the season, if you take a loss, typically you've had, I think, two games is the most you've lost in a row before coming back with a victory. Usually if there's one loss, there's a win after that. What can you say about the team in their third year that there's never really that drought? If there's a loss, you come right back on it immediately.
This was a huge win for us. This was a playoff win for us. I think it's pretty much, a lot of things we have to go really, really wrong for us not to make the playoffs now. So, at nine wins, Rochester, I don't know what they're doing with Baltimore right now, but at nine wins with us, and we go through on them, and if you look at St. Louis's schedule, it's not easy. They're not going to get the nine wins. I would think this win puts us in the playoffs, and I told the guys, no one's losing to Pennsylvania. If we lose to Pennsylvania, we drop a game on the whole league. Missouri's and the Milwaukee's and the Baltimore's. They came out and they fought hard. They're a young team, that really worked hard, and we showed our experience at the end.
When you look at the team right now, I mean, I know there's a lot of different guys that have stepped up for you, but did anybody stick out on your mind immediately when the zeros ran on the board? Is there anybody that you thought really stepped up, especially today?
Well, I thought Nelson did a great job in the second half, stepping forward, you know, and we're as good as Nelson is. You know, if Nelson goes forward and gets tight, we're a really, really good team. If Nelson doesn't get tight, we're a really bad team. So, I mean, I thought Nelson got tight. He created, you know, he had a goal in the first half that he created. He created, I think, two in the second half, and he scored one. So, you know, I thought he was the key to that whole thing where he got tight with stepping in front. You know, Marcus, all the defenders stepping tight. I mean, Toby scoring two goals. He didn't score this year. You know, Toby got two goals, so it was really good. I mean, Vittorio got a goal, you know, comes in, up assists, and gets a goal, so it was great.
Michelle Millwood, when we talk about one of the plays that you do in practice where you have one guy in front of the goal and kind of boxing out, so to speak, but standing in front of his defender to either turn or set up a play for someone. Michelle Millwood seems to do it better than anybody on the team this season, whether he's scoring a goal or setting it up for someone else. How important has he been right in the middle in front of the goal?
I mean, well, you know, he can hold the ball. I mean he's a big force, and he's a good leader, and he's won championships. And he's a special player, you know, and that was a big goal. I mean, I don't think I was doing on that play. I mean, you can argue with him, and then all of a sudden I cover him, you know. And I mean, he stepped through. It was a great ball by Slav, and a great finish.
And then lastly, it's not nice weather outside. It seems like you have a blizzard at least once or twice that there's a home game at the War Memorial for the Syracuse Silver Knights. What can you say about the fans that really turned out tonight, despite the weather?
It was a great crowd. I mean, I didn't know. It wasn't snowing when I got here, so, you know, I got here at 5 o'clock. So if it's snowing now, hopefully they all showed up before it started snowing. You know, we got four home games left. We got Baltimore, and we got Milwaukee, we got Rutgers in Pennsylvania. You know, and I would love to sell out this arena, you know, one or two of those times. So, you know, fans, please come out. Come out and support the guys. Support pro soccer in Syracuse.
What would it mean to this team in the third year to go to the playoffs? What would it mean for the longevity of this squad?
Well, I think it's a great opportunity for us. I mean, it gives us another home game, another opportunity to create excitement in the community, another way to get articles in the newspaper, you know, people talking about you. And then if you can win that first round, it's even better. I mean, listen to those crazies up there, you know. The Salt City supporters are unbelievable. They're still going. And the game's over for an hour, and they're still going. So it's been awesome.
Tommy Tanner, the president and head coach of the Syracuse Silver Knights, giving a shout-out to the Salt City supporters who were out there, and you could hear them right in the background cheering on the Syracuse Silver Knights well after the game ended, just showing their love and support for the team. Always out there, always chanting, always in their same section behind one of the goals, and beating that drum, cheering on what they truly believe is something special that the Syracuse community is blessed to have. And I can't help but agree with them that if you have not been out to a Syracuse Silver Knights game, you're truly missing out on something very, very special. To have a professional indoor soccer league team in Syracuse, New York, and not only to have a professional indoor soccer league team, but to have it at the highest level of indoor soccer. And if you're a fan of basketball, hockey, or soccer, any of them, it has components of each, which I think makes for a truly fun time, because it's totally different from anything that I've ever experienced. When I called my first game, it was unlike anything else I've ever called, any commentating I've ever done. And I can't thank the Syracuse Silver Knights enough for giving me my first opportunity with indoor soccer to be a commentator, to also be a PA announcer, and now to cover the team every single day, 24/7, 365. They have their own page here on WakeUpCallDT.com. That's the Knights on Call page that you could find right on the homepage by going to the More tab and then clicking on Knights on Call. I can't thank the team enough. Just consummate professionals. They care about each other. They're working together more than they ever have in the first couple of years. Now in the third year, working closer than they've ever been, fighting for their brother next to them. Tommy Tanner seems more comfortable leading this crew as time goes by, and just seeing all these people step up. And not only that, but if you've ever gotten an autograph from the Syracuse Silver Knights or talked with them, they will stay as long as people are there. They're not those people sign two autographs, they're too important, they walk away. If you want an autograph signed, they will stick around and help you out, be there right there for you. And I got to do an event at Cantina Laredo with the Syracuse Silver Knights, and I really appreciated the camaraderie of the guys. We all sat around one table, had dinner together, they signed autographs, took pictures with fans, and any chance I get to get the Knights out there, truly come out and see them. You will not regret it. A bunch of hardworking, good guys that put together a great product and are so fan-oriented that, you know, if you want to feel a part of the game, I don't know a better way that you're going to feel it than having actual players run right out into the stands and shake your hand after a goal. What Neto did in this victory over the Pennsylvania Roars, to not only stand up on the side, but ran right into the crowd. They hug people, they shake hands. Even when they're told, okay, that's enough, you don't have to do any more, the team is still out there. Tommy Tanner's still out there showing love and showing support for the community. So as Tommy said, show it back. And make sure you go out to the games. The team is 9-5 right now, 14 games in. They play 20 games. They will have two of those games on the road, which leaves four at home. Don't miss out on any of those games. The next one coming up Friday, January 31st, at home, the Syracuse Silverknights. Don't miss out on that game that's coming up on January 31st. You get the entire schedule for the Syracuse Silverknights on their website, SyracuseSilverKnights.com, all one word. And right here on Wake Up Call, DT.com/Knights-on-call. Or just go to the Wake Up Call DT.com homepage, click on the More tab, and scroll down to Knights on Call. And that will take you into plenty of video and audio exclusives from the Syracuse Silver Knights that you'll only find here on WakeUpCallDT.com, as well as the team's full schedule and playback, courtesy of all the team's YouTube channels across the MISL, Major Indoor Soccer League. You can go back and watch every single Syracuse Silver Knights game from this season. So I truly appreciate that for all the teams that put everything together and their hard work. And as I said, the Salt City supporters, go and give them a follow on Twitter at @SaltCity_SC. That's Salt City underscore S as in Sam, C as in Charlie. Make sure you go out and show support for the Salt City supporters, who show support for the Syracuse Silver Knights with plenty of fans. Very nice crowd against the Pennsylvania Roar. Pennsylvania Roar, worst record in the league, have won one game in 14 tries. And the Syracuse Silver Knights fans came out. So, doesn't matter the competition, the fans come out. Make sure you're a part of that group, and don't be the person that has to hear about the game after the fact. Win or lose, a great show from the Syracuse Silver Knights. And continuing with the theme of wanting to put together a great show, I did the best for you, as I always work to do, by bringing on the Syracuse Silver Knight players that I feel like you need to hear from after all these games. The players change each game. Some you hear familiar voices, new voices, talking with the team and having the opportunity to bring these guys on. Antonio Manfoot is the first one you're going to hear from. And first and foremost with Antonio, I asked him about his play so far, as he's gotten more playing time in this third season for the Syracuse Silver Knights, how he feels he's acclimating himself to the indoor game and how he feels he's doing.
I've just played my role so far. Given the minutes that I have, I just kind of go out there, do my part, and get off for the next shift. But I feel like I'm running the game a lot better, so I'm able to help the team a little bit more when I'm out there instead of just running around. So every time I get out there, I try to help them as much as I can. Just do my role and come off. So that's about it.
What's the biggest thing that you've had to learn about this indoor game?
Probably all the boards and where to be when each player has the ball. When a defender has the ball, you have to be at a different spot. When a midfielder has the ball, you have to be at a different spot. So just knowing where to be and how to read the balls off the boards.
When you're out there and, you know, in a game like this, getting knocked down a bunch of times, that's something that happens in this indoor game. How do you keep your body prepared to respond to something like this where there is so much contact in the indoor game?
Yeah, just make sure after all the games, all the practices, get a lot of ice in. That's about all you can do. Yeah, just try to keep off the boards, but it's kind of hard out there.
When you look at it as far as, you know, a lot of the guys out there, height differential, there's been guys across, women across all different sports that have been successful no matter what the height, and actually appreciate when somebody doesn't give them that credit. So have you ever been in a position before where somebody looks at your height and said, this kid's not going to make it, and now you have that opportunity to play professionally? I mean, does this kind of stick out to you that you're being successful in what you love?
Definitely. I've got that my whole life, but just got to work to your advantages. I'm a short guy. I got the quick step. Other guys that are big and tall, they're not as quick, so you just got to work to your advantage. So kind of like motivation for me just to take it to the next level.
When you look at A Tale of Two Halves, when it's, you know, 4-4 and then the team blows up to an 11-point victory. What was different between half one and half two in your mind?
We had a good talk from Coach Tanner, and then honestly just the chemistry was flowing a lot better in the second half. It's like the first snowflake to start the avalanche. Just one went in and then it was all perfect from there. It was perfect. Perfect second half.
What did Tommy Tanner say to you at the half?
Just got to step up, play tighter. We're playing lackadaisical. Just got to step up. Everyone's got to step up when they're in individual battles, and that's what we did.
Speaking of players having to step up, Kenardo Forbes being one of the guys that has done that on the Syracuse Silver Knights from the first moment that he came onto the team in year one to where he stands right now, has evolved into a player that the Syracuse Silver Knights truly rely on to get the job done and to go out there and be a leader and help this band of brothers get to the playoffs for the first time ever in their history. And looking at this game, Kenardo Forbes, as he grows, the team grows, and this season, the longest losing streak that the Syracuse Silver Knights have had is two games. Outside of that, if the team loses, they bounce right back and win the next game. And that's where Kenardo Forbes and I start our discussion, is what is going on with this team this season that the losing streaks aren't long, they end very rapidly. And why is that?
It's all come down to pride. We take pride in our job. So we lose one, we got to watch tape the other day and started out the little mistake that we've been making. So it just come down to pride. The whole team got pride.
And as far as your play right now, obviously as the 3 years have gone on, you've started out and you didn't have a lot of playing time in the beginning. Now you're one of the guys that the team relies on. What can you say about your growth and your development with the indoor game?
Well, my growth is all coming to just learning. I'm here two years in a row. I didn't get much playing time, so I just sit and I just watch the older guys and learn from them. You know, I got the experience. I know what to do, where to go, how to pass the ball, how to run. So I think Tommy improved my game on a whole lot.
Darren Tobey, in that two-on-one opportunity, kind of playing with the goalkeeper on the other side, and either way, one of you guys is going to have a clear shot at the goal. What can you say about Darren Tobey and what he did today, and how comfortable you were playing with him?
It's the first time he ever sprinted in 3 years, so I got to reward him for that sprint. Let him score the goal. Let him score the top in. I got to reward him. It's the first time he sprinted in 3 years, so just got to reward him.
When you look at the Baltimores, the Milwaukees, the Missouris, this team's beaten two out of those three so far. What do you take away from the team right now?
All I can say is just for the team, we got to just be disciplined. More discipline, the defense first, and then we go on the fast break. That's what we're good at. So just defense first, and then we get our chances to score.
Kenardo Forbes saying right there that the team has to be disciplined. And that links to what Marco Chantel had to say after speaking with Kenardo Forbes. I sat down with Marco Chantel about this game, a tale of two halves, that slow start 4-4 tie going into the break, and then the team coming out in the Syracuse Silver Knights, meaning that team, coming out and playing strong late and winning the game by 11. But what Marcus Chantel thought about that tale of two halves, what he took away from how the team started and how the Knights finished.
I don't know, but every time we start a game, I'm not saying we play against a weak team. Every time we play against, I'm not saying they're a weak team, but we're one of the, you know, not good team in the league. We have the bad tendency to start slow, you know, especially when we score the first goal. We think we're going to kill the team, but that's not happening anymore. You know, everything can change. Those guys, they have good players. They move them around. They run. They take the shots. You know, the five guys behind the ball is hard. So we got to concentrate and focus. Not just because we play against a team in the bottom of the table. We got to take it easy, man. We got to play first and second half as hard as we can.
How do you look at a game like this? I mean, Pennsylvania's at them. They have one win this season. When they play you so close, is that something that you take personally going forward, that the team that was at the bottom is a team that was neck and neck with you. I mean, do you learn from this and say that a lot of things have to change if you want to win a championship?
Of course, because when you play against those teams and go play against a team like Baltimore, you walk, if you play the same way we play in the first half, you're going to get killed. So I say to the guys, we got to take a lesson, okay? So when you play against a team in the bottom of the table, you got to go there and kill them, get the job done. You know, but don't let them do anything. Just get over there, score goals, and finish the game early.
As far as one of your teammates, Darren Tobey, getting out there and scoring in this game, what can you say about what he was able to do and the fact that he got some nice looks out there tonight?
Oh, that, in terms of the opposite, that helped us a lot because they don't expect the defenders to push up and score goals. That helped us a lot, especially the forwards, because sometimes we attack the team, but we don't have enough numbers on the box. And every time one of the defenders come late and throw another guy over there, that was more tense for us to score.
Tommy's joked with you before. You're a guy that it takes very few shots as far as going after the goal. How do you feel your offense maybe has improved this season? Do you feel like when you are getting looks that you're taking some chances that maybe you didn't take before?
Yeah, I know people talk about that, but you know what? As long as we take the win, bring the win for this franchise, I don't mind just, you know, defend, stay in the back, because I'm always taking defenders. We have guys over there that, you know, they can score many points at once. But once in a while, I try to be, like I said before, we have guys up there can score to go. But I'll try to go up there, take some shots, and eventually the goal is gonna show.
Team right now with 9 wins, 6 games to go. What can you say about the Silver Knights right now? How would you define this team right now?
You know, the way I define this team right now is for the other team to watch first, because we're gonna give a lot of trouble to the team. If they think they're gonna win this championship easy, nah, because we're gonna get up there, we're gonna fight, and we're gonna fight for the championship. Trust me.
Big words coming from Marcos Chantel, stating the fact that if other teams think that they're going to go up against the Syracuse Silver Knights and get a win, that it's going to come easy, it's not, that this Syracuse Silver Knights team is going to fight for a championship. Trust me. Those words coming from Marco Chantel, definitely big words coming from someone who has been with this team for a while and is looking for this team to get to the playoffs for the first time in their history. Their young history have only been around for a little over two and a half seasons, a little bit more than that. And in this third season, looking to attain a place in the postseason for the MISL, the highest form of indoor soccer in the nation. So nothing to take lightly. If you make the playoffs in the MISL, if you're even one of the franchises in the MISL, that's saying a lot about what you're trying to do and the level of talent that is on each team to do so. And speaking of that talent, Neto, someone who the Syracuse Silver Knights brought on board last season, who they've looked to score, and even when he's 50%, finds a way to score a goal. Well, the Syracuse Silver Knights in this game, as we've talked about before here on the Extra Period on Wake Up Call DT.com, where sports meets life. This game was not an offensive game in the beginning. It was a 4-4 tie after 30 minutes. 4 goals scored by both teams within the first 30 minutes. Then, everything opened up as far as the Syracuse Silver Knights go in the second half. So I spoke with Neto, and first and foremost with Neto, asked him what he was thinking with the way the first half went and then how the second half followed so differently. And this is what Neto had to say.
I think the start of the game is so slow, but after this happens, the halftime, I told you, the guys told me, play more hard, put more attention in discipline, huh? And the two guys play hard, pass the ball, count the ball, position. I think it's the thing that tonight is the position, the second half. All guys work with the team.
As far as your play, how's your body been feeling? I mean, you've been banged up this season, had different parts where you've had to, you know, sit out at times. How do you feel right now?
Now I feel good 100% because I come back for the 100% play hard because I am injured my knee, and now I feel good. I think now I help more the team for the playoffs. No, I think it's a great victory tonight. But I work more time, more have seven games more, make more great position for the playoffs. Good, he play hard in the playoffs. No, I think it's very important to finish the season good. He started the playoffs hard. He maybe the championship.
When you look at how this game kind of opened up, what can you say about Michelle Millwood and what he's meant for you in the middle to kind of set guys like you up?
Oh, a great player. Millwood coming, great experience. Maybe, I don't know how many championships he had, but help a lot the team. The experience helped me too because I, as the third year, as the 3 seasons I played this indoor, he played 10 years, Eagle. Also, he helped a lot, all with me, the older guys, the younger guys, he helped the team a lot this year. This is the thing, the point now for the team this year.
And then when you look at the end of the game for you to kind of just hit the ball right over the sixth attacker and send it in, you not only jumped up onto the side, but you ran out into the crowd. How much do the fans mean to you? Because you always seem to get really involved with the fans.
Yeah, because of the passion for the game and make the score for the score for the die the game. The game. I go for the fans because the fans put the craze, you know. I am the only guy jumping the boards. I go for the fans, and the fans, I think, like it. It's my celebration.
Speaking of celebration, Nelson Santana, teammate of Neto on the Syracuse Silver Knights, had reason to celebrate after scoring two second-half goals for the Syracuse Silver Knights, a three-pointer in the third quarter, and then the second-to-last goal of the game scored by the Syracuse Silver Knights coming off the foot of Nelson Santana, assisted by Neto. And looking at the game and even games before, Nelson Santana and I sat down, as we've done so many different times, and this time to talk first and foremost about offensively how Nelson Santana feels like he's been doing, because it seems like there's been a little bit of a drought for Nelson Santana as far as getting the ball through the net recently. Then he gets the two goals in this game, and what he took away from his play going into the game and where he was at in the game itself against the Pennsylvania Roar after getting those two scores.
Yes, I started pretty good in the beginning of the season. I was scoring, I was doing assists. And the worst thing was in training, I hurt my knee and then it just went down the hill. You know, confidence-wise, just went bad. You know, I was playing hurt, you know. There's so much that I can do with my knee. My knee's better. Then my hamstring comes up and then starts bothering me, and then now my foot is bothering me again. But you know, it was a good game. I've been trying to go forward, you know, trying to help my team as much as I can, but it's so much that I can do, you know. And today, you know, it opens up, and then, you know, it seems like I got 3 or 4 opportunities to help my team. You know, I guess it was 2 assists, 2 goals, and then, you know, just put them away, you know, help them as much as I can. Hopefully I get over with this injury on my right foot, and then hopefully I can help them out more, you know, hopefully be healthy by the playoffs.
When you talk about the injury that you have to your right foot, I mean, a couple games ago was when you had originally hurt your foot. How does your foot feel right now? Because, I mean, any fan watching you, they couldn't tell anything was wrong.
In the beginning when I got here, it was very sore. I put my shoes on and then it was very, very comfortable going into warm-up. First of all, it didn't help because it was really cold out there, but it just took me a while. You know, the first quarter, it was hurting. I was limping a little bit. You know, Tommy asked me if it was okay, and I go, yeah, you know, I'll be fine. You know, just let the adrenaline kick in. You know, and eventually, you know, it kicked in and you know, I kind of made a couple mistakes in the beginning, you know, and I think it has to do more with me not sticking in, getting in there because I don't want to get hurt, you know, more. But, you know, I say, what can you do? You know, you got to just go there and leave everything in the field in the second half, and then that's what we did. We talk about it, you know, having our forwards, our targets and the second forwards pushing up, and our midfielders, you know, tracking like a safety, and then we just give it, and then we just go. We just went for there.
As far as the goals that you did score, the looks that you had, just going to what you were seeing in those, because you had a three-point goal and then you had the goal after.
It's funny about the three-point goal. I didn't know. I even asked Toby, was that a three-point? He goes, yeah, man. He goes, you hit it pretty far. What happened was it was a foul, and then I stepped on the ball. I was trying to play Cornardo, but right when Neto was next to me, I told Neto to go down low. Right when I did that, they had two on the wall. That guy just dropped with Neto. that other guy shifting to cover near post, and then he just the hole wide open. And I don't know where that goalie was, but I pretty much pointed at it. I said, this is going to be a goal. I just got to hit it hard and place it, and then it happened. It went in. And we got the 3-point, and I think that's what it sparks the team, and then we went from there.
The Knights, at times this season, have had trouble scoring in the fourth quarter, scoring late. This was where, as time went on, it seemed easier and easier to score, and everybody getting involved in some way. What can you say about this type of game and what this could mean for the future? Do you feel like a game like this kind of maybe opens things up for you?
Yeah, a team like this, we got to use them as a learning experience. You know, we seems like when we play these type of teams, we get sloppy, we get our discipline is not there. So, you know, like I said, we came in halftime and we talked about it. You know, we gotta stick with the plan. It's gonna work. Don't hesitate. It's gonna come to us. And that's what it did. Hey, Millwood, Neto, pressure, second forward, you know, Bernardo, Slav, Nate, and then someone was in as a safety in the middle. You know, it's hard. You don't have a place to put the ball. You know, you get drawn, and then, you know, we just let them put the ball and then on the ground, and then we just attack. We close their angles, we close their passing lanes, and then they give us 3-4 goals like that. You know, little did they know when they're passing the ball, we took them and we're going forward. And then the good thing about it is, like, our guys just put it away. We were not happening in the first quarter, in the first half, you know, people were trying to do their own thing. But we, you know, we got to be disciplined with good teams and bad teams. And I guess, you know, what we're doing is working. And then, I don't know, we just have to stay disciplined to make the playoffs and hopefully go to the final.
As far as where the team's at right now, do you feel that this is a playoff team capable of winning moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. I think you know, bringing such experienced target like Norwood, I think he's helping us out a lot. We just have to be disciplined. We got to listen. We got to, you know, stick with the plan. That's the only way we're going to win games, you know. If we start doing, you know, our own things, you know, fueling from the back and, you know, not pressing, not getting close, not closing angles, and you know, closing the middle. You know, we're not gonna make it. But if we do that, good things happen. Look, we beat Baltimore. We have Baltimore yesterday. You know, they only had two shots, and the two shots that beat us. But you know, for them to break us down, it was hard. They don't like to run. We did our thing. And today, you know, we started bad, and I think it was just because we came in so late, you know, 4 in the morning, you know, a quick turnaround. But we got our legs, and then, you know, we knew what we were going to do, and then we stuck to the plan, and then it worked, and then it's going to work, and everyone has to believe in it, and we're going to score a lot of goals like that, you know, and that we do, and we did, and we've been doing that if we stick with the plan.
And then lastly, you bring up Millwood. After you scored your second goal, you went over to him in the penalty box, gave him a hug. Why do something like that? What did you maybe say to him after that goal?
I told him that I love him. He has bring a lot of experience to the team and a lot of energy. And, you know, it's a guy that it sticks out for the team and sticks out for players. And then, you know, whatever it was for the 5 minutes, who cares? You know, he scored his goal. You know, he put us in a good position. And then, for me, that pumps me up, so I went and returned the favor, you know, all the stuff that he has helping us and teaching us, you know, it doesn't go. I'm grateful, you know, I'm very grateful that he's here. You know, I had him in the U.S. National Football Team. He's a great team player, you know, and he tells you what it is. He's not blue collar. He tells you, okay, you're doing something wrong, pick it up, you know what to do. And, you know, that's what we need, and he's doing a great job. I mean, I think he deserved that. He deserved that, you know, putting the icing on the cake and then go and celebrate with him, saying, you know, we got you. 5 minutes doesn't matter. We know we got the players. Don't worry about it. And that's what I did. You know, I went up to him, gave him a hug, and it was best for you, buddy.
Team. Camaraderie. Togetherness. That is the definition this season of the Syracuse Silver Knights. Team is 9-5. Very close to clinching their first ever playoff berth in the MISL, in their existence, and coming together. Michelle Millwood in the penalty box. Nelson Santana scores a goal, goes over to Michelle Millwood, hugs him, grabs him by the head and says, I love you, and I did this for you, buddy. That care, concern, staying together, brings me to my final guest here in this episode of the Extra Period on WakeUpCallDT.com. your one-stop sports shop. And that is with Vittorio Petrera, who scored his first ever major indoor soccer league goal. First professional goal. First goal with the Syracuse Silver Knights. Vittorio Petrera, unassisted, scores in the first quarter of the game, where the Syracuse Silver Knights had their four points that they had in the first half. Nate Bordeaux scored the first goal, assisted from Nelson Santana. Then Pennsylvania scored to tie the game, and Vittorio Petrera scored with just a couple, a little bit over 2 minutes before the end of the first quarter. Vittorio Petrera scored his first ever goal in his career as a professional soccer player. And I asked Vittorio not only what it meant to score his first career goal, but to do it in the first half when the Syracuse Silver Knights struggled to get the ball through the net. And this is what Vittorio Petrera had to say on his moment when that goal that he has surely been dreaming of for a very long time finally happened.
It was actually pretty exciting to actually get that first goal underneath my belt. I honestly, when Neto played me the ball, I didn't think I had a chance of getting it. And as soon as the goalie came out, I actually just lifted my leg up, and I thought the ref was going to blow the whistle for a high kick because I almost kicked the goalie in the face. But I didn't hear any whistle, and the ball fell to my foot, so I just tapped it in. And the game was a close game at the time, so it actually, you know, it meant a lot to me. And, you know, it was good to actually get us going back into the game and get a flow into it.
With you having one of those goals early, it's 4-4 at the half. Obviously, the game opened up in the second half, but to have only two goals scored in the first 30 minutes and one of them be yours, how crucial did you feel like that was now looking back on the game?
I feel like it was pretty crucial. It took us a while to get going, I think. Seeing that we had a game last night in Baltimore, I think everyone was still a little tired. So I think maybe we needed that extra push to get us over the edge. And, you know, being able to put that goal in and keep us going and, you know, give us hope to, you know, score the next goal and keep going and keep going. I think that was pretty big for us, and it meant a lot to me, actually.
And as far as what this means to you outside of maybe the team or this moment or this game, personally, what does it mean to you?
Personally, it does mean a lot. Hopefully it's not my last one. So, you know, always your first goal is always, you know, your biggest one, especially playing a professional sport. As long as, you know, we keep this going and, you know, the team keeps winning, that's all I really care about. Goals will come, whether it's me or whether it's, you know, anyone else on the team. It's, you know, it means a lot to me, but as long as we win, that's all I really care about.
When you look at a situation where, you know, with yours, the minutes that you get, obviously very valuable minutes, when you get out there and you get on the field, what can you say to kids out there that are fighting for their moment, fighting for their opportunity, because you never gave up, came to practice, were always a consummate professional, dressed nice, came to work, did what you needed to do, then you finally get put out there on the field and you finish that chance. So what can you say to someone that's maybe waiting their turn right now?
Well, I mean, in my situation, I've been waiting for that, you know, since I started. The first year I started off as a reserve player, and I always looking forward to getting on the field and actually trying to make an impact. So, I mean, you could tell anyone that is in that situation just to never give up. Always, you know, keep trying. No matter how, you know, how down you get sometimes and, you know, how depressed you get, oh, you know, you're not playing as much and, you know, you see all these people getting on and you're not getting on. The times you actually get a chance, get on the field and try to make an impact, you know. You just, you know, if someone says, oh, you know, if you take a shift, it doesn't matter if there's 30 seconds or if there's 30 minutes, you know. You can do whatever you can do to help the team win. That's all that matters. So.
And how do you feel your teammates kind of came around you? I mean, this seems like a team more than in the first 2 years of this year. It's more of a group of players and not looking to one guy or looking to two guys that everybody's fighting for their brother. What did they say to you after you got that goal?
Well, they all congratulated me, and, you know, they're all really happy for me. They knew that I wanted that, you know, since day one. So everyone was pretty encouraging on the goal, and they're all, you know, like I said, very happy for me. But, you know, everyone looks out for each other on this team, and most of us have been together for 3 years now, even if we were a reserve player, or, you know, we've kept around the majority of our team. So we've all meshed pretty well into the third year, and I think it's bringing everyone closer that we keep this core together. And like Coach is doing, you know, he's saying he believes in us and whatnot. He's bringing most of the players back year after year, and in this third year when we're actually learning the game, you know, it's actually showing.